This is September the 10th, 2010. This is Donald Smith of Cornell University with Robert Link, class of 1961. We're at Crystal Lake, which is the summer home of Robert and Nancy Link, Nancy being in the class of 1952, home economics. Thanks, Bob, for doing this interview. Would you please start by talking about how you grew up, maybe your family legacy, and how you got to veterinary college?
Okay. I grew up on a dairy farm near Sharon Springs, which is on Route 20, about 50 miles west of Albany. And the farm was in the family, or still is in the family, was started in 1859. So, and it was a good dairy farm. My dad was an excellent farmer. You know, if it was raining, we had to clean cobwebs and pull weeds on the fences and mustard out of the corn rolls. And he didn't purchase anything on credit. He did a wonderful job and was a great role model. Never smoked. Once in a while had a can of beer, but just a hard worker. My mother always went to church, and so most of us kids got in the habit of going to church. My dad didn't go too often. He was a Baptist, and the Baptist church closed, and so we were brought up in the Lutheran church. During the war years, we had about 25 milking head, and right after the war in 46, we increased to about 50, one of the bigger farms in the area, built a new rafter barn, and my dad was on the cutting edge, and he bred purebred Holstein cows. I loved to go to school, because school was not too hard, and if I was in school, I wasn't working. So it was sort of like a vacation. So I enjoyed school very much. In fact, from the fourth grade through graduation high school, I never missed a day. And I loved to participate in all the sports. A small school like ours, where there are only about 200 in the entire 12 grades, you got a chance to participate in all the athletic teams. So Dad was a baseball fan. We each had our own teams. And when we were milking cows, we had a who's who right in the window. My dad was a Dodger fan, my brother was a Cardinal fan, and in 1937, listening to the radio, I heard Lou Gehrig hit a home run, so I became a Yankee fan, and I wore number 4 on all my athletic uniforms from that point on. How did I get interested in veterinary medicine? Well, no way would I want to go 6 years to college. You know, I figured 4 years was bad enough to get out and earn a living for myself, because I had an older brother, and I kind of made the assumption that the farm would pass to him, which it did. I kind of thought I'd like to teach agriculture, so Cornell was the obvious place. My ag teacher went to Cornell, and we went up to a couple football games, and I figured, okay, I'll give that a whirl. So my brother and I actually applied the same time. My brother graduated in 1946 when he's only 16. He always wondered about going to college, and then he decided, well, if you're going, I'm going. So we both started in the fall of 1950, but our hired man, it was a Korean War. He decided he owed it to the country to join up. So he joined up, and that left my dad without any help on the farm. So my brother said, well, I'm going home. So he took a leave of absence, and he's still on a leave of absence. I went on and graduated in 54. I taught school for a short period of time from July of 54 to December of 54 when another fellow that I knew was coming home from Korea. And he was looking for a job. And I said, well, it's obvious to me that teaching is not my ballgame, so come take this job. I go help my dad and brother on the farm. And I couldn't have finished a year because I had to report to duty in May of 55. I met my wife while I was teaching school, and at the Saratoga County Fair, she was a 4-H agent, and I was willing to come down and look over the 4-H building to see about exhibiting for the FFA. But anyway, so we got married in August of 55, hoping I'd get orders to Germany or something like that, but got orders to Korea. No dependents in Korea, so I went to Korea in 55 and spent 16 months there. And while I was there, I said, you know, how am I going to make a living, you know? And my folks, they were talking to me about, why don't you go to veterinary college? And I thought back, well, gee, maybe that wasn't such a bad idea. I was thinking a little bit about medical practice. So I actually wrote to a couple medical schools, Albany Medical, but then I was thinking, you know, I'm a lot more comfortable with cows. I think my folks had a good idea, so I think I'll investigate veterinary medicine when I get out, which I did. So I was in Korea, got out in January of 57, and I had a month's leave. My wife was working as a 4-H agent in Rensselaer County. And in that month, she looking over the employment at Cornell, there was an opening in the Humec College in the editorial office. And she decided, well, if you're thinking about veterinary college, why don't I go up and see if there's any chance of getting that job? So we went up, and I had to take some placement test. While I was there, I went down to the veterinary college. I assumed I would have to go a year to get requirements because I had no zoology. Luckily, I had taken physics, so that was out of the way. I hadn't completed any zoology, per se, in organic chemistry. But I stopped into the veterinary college and said, well, you better go up and talk to the secretary of the college, who was Dr. Gordon Danks at that time. That was in the morning. He said, tell you what you do. You go up to the ag school, bring me your transcript down this afternoon, and I got a class. I'll meet you at 3 o'clock. So came down, gave him the transcript. He looked at that and said, you did pretty good. It was something like 17th in the class or something like that. And he said, what I want you to do next is to go over to a day hall there and enroll in organic chemistry this summer. Take it to summer, and you can start in the fall. I said, what about zoology? Well, he said, heck, you took 3 hours of botany, and you took 6 hours of human growth and development. That'll suffice for zoology. So I completed the organic chemistry in 6 weeks and started school in the fall of 57.
Did you have an interview with the committee, or was it just with Dr. Danks?
I did have an interview with the committee. It might have been a week later. The interview was with Dean Hagen, Dr. Olson, and Dr. Fincher. Well, they're all three pretty, you know, kind of scary, pretty stern-looking guys, you know. But anyway, the first question they asked me is, where are you from? And I said, well, from Sharon Springs. And Dr. Fincher said, well, I know that town well. And so Dr. Olson said, I do too. We've both been arrested for speeding in that town. So I said, this is not a good way to start. We had a one-man police force, and that's how he earned his income. If they were exceeding 40 miles an hour, and it was two hills coming down into Sharon, so it was easy to get them. So that's how the interview started off. I cannot remember anything else about the interview except the speeding tickets in Sharon Springs. And if you'd ever rode with Dr. Fincher, you knew why he got a speeding ticket. And he was pretty heavy on the gas, you know. So I was very fortunate. I mean, I picked up a year there, got right into school. And having a farm background, that put you in good stead with Dr. Danks, too. He liked farm background and so forth. And there were getting to be fewer and fewer kids from farms that were applying. Yeah, it was already beginning to drop.
So when you started in 57, there was no tuition for New York State students?
Absolutely. No. Fees and books.
And
no tuition.
Your wife was working. Tell me about the financial situation as you went through school.
Well, it was great. I had a veteran scholarship from New York State because I'm from Korea. They were granted so many per county, and Schoharie County didn't have very many people, so I qualified for a scholarship, and that paid for the fees. We often said that we were in better shape financially during those 4 years, and I think we used to go to the movie once a week, and because my wife was working and had an income, and I think our main expense was the apartment, which we had a nice apartment, and the books. For the last 3 years, I worked in the ambulatory clinic, which brought in some money, and also good experience because I got to ride with practitioners.
Could you describe what you did with the ambulatory clinic?
Oh, sure. The people that worked in the ambulatory clinic had to take care of cleaning up equipment, sterilizing equipment, having the grips ready for Dr. Fincher and Dr. Fox and Dr. Roberts and Dr. Hillman and Dr. Van Krinnigan. We had to take care of repairing the obstetrical sleeves. That was days before they got into using the plastic sleeves very much. But we also had to make all the 50% dextrose for the astenemia cows and calcium for the milk fever cases. And there were a few other liniments that we made and had to compound and stuff, some drugs you never heard of sitting on the shelf back there. We wondered what they were for. If we needed to order something, we had to go in and order it in the office. We had to make sure that the proprietary products and the hormones, if we got down, we'd go order them, and so was our responsibility. And it was not only a good learning thing, and we also got paid for it, so best of both worlds. Sort of like playing baseball for pay, you know. So that job lasted through sophomore, junior, and senior year.
What did you do during the summers?
Started ambulatory my second year. Also that summer I worked on a mastitis survey. So there was another play for pay. We'd go out early so we'd get back from the mastitis survey by 9 or 10 o'clock, unless we were way out of, and I could do my work in the afternoon. And then in my between the junior and senior year, I arranged a ride with Dr. Lovell in Watkins Glen, who had a mixed practice, both large and small animals. And I would zip over every morning and ride with him. And that summer we purchased two bicycles so my wife could ride to work on her bicycle. We still have those bicycles. They're hanging up in the garage, 3 speeds from Sears and Roebuck's. And I had a good experience with Dr. Love. He probably let me do more than I should. In fact, I remember he said, I'm going to go to the state meeting. Can you hold down the fort? I guess that was illegal, but it was not unusual for if the summer guy showed the ability to, and the farmers were used to you by then because the state meeting was always towards September before school started. So that was a good experience.
So you're treating milk fevers and...
Oh, milk fevers.
And calvings by yourself.
And, yeah, and infected ears and giving distemper shots and harassing the... Dr. Love had his... wasn't a technician, he wasn't called him an attendant. His kennel man was his surgical assistant and everything. And he was a real Pittsburgh Pirate fan. He was an African-American, likable guy. He had a couple of hitches in jail, but... Dr. Love got him straightened out and dried out, and he was a good citizen. So we had a good time together. In fact, that year, the Yankees lost to Pittsburgh when Mazeroski hit that home run in the 7th inning. When I got home from work that day, because I never played those games in a day, when I got back to Nabisco, what's on my back door in Water Street but a huge pirate flag? Willie had, I don't know how he found my address, had come over and planted that flag, you know, so we had a good time. Those 4 years at veterinary college were great. Financially, we were in good shape. I bought a car, I was able to buy a car. I went out of there not owing anybody anything. Probably one of the last classes that were like that.
Could you describe Dr. Leonard and his role in small animal surgery?
Dr. Leonard introduced aseptic surgery, and we were all very much aware of that, and he taught our junior surgery in your junior year. The spring term of the junior year was junior surgery. You had 3 guys on a team, an anesthetist, an assistant surgeon, and a surgeon. There were 4 or 5 pieces of prescribed surgery, hysterectomy, gastrotomy. Maybe the first one was just a laparotomy, just to open up and close up. We have to have the dog anesthetized, and then we use pentobarbital sodium, which is deathly stuff. So we had to be extremely careful. We knew how dangerous it was, and after you got in practice, you really began to find out how dangerous it was, and we began to use inhalants so much safer. But anyway, we'd have to have that dog anesthetized and prepped, shaved, and ready for surgery at 2 o'clock when Dr. Leonard would appear. Everything ready to go, the instruments unwrapped, you'd be all washed and gloved. Outstanding thing I remember about surgery is one of our teams, the guys who were next to us, at about 2:05, they happened to accidentally knock all their instruments on the floor. So I never saw 3 guys hustle so quickly. We're all trying to help them get stuff picked up and on the instruments and be in line when Dr. Leonard appears. So we said, you know, 5-second rule applies here. Those things weren't on the floor long enough to break asepsis. So... And if you were on his team in your last year when you were in the clinics, no one wanted to mention if there was a little suppuration at an incision or something, that the use of, you know, antibiotics, because this surgery was done aseptically and we don't need to use antibiotics, do we? You know, he was an excellent teacher, and he really taught us the fundamentals of aseptic surgery.
You had 2 women who graduated with you.
We did have a 3rd gal who actually failed at the end of the 1st year. The other 2 gals went through very nicely and were competent in both large animal and small animal. One of the gals married a classmate, and they're over in the Massachusetts area that subsequently have divided. Because at our class, we get a good participation in our reunion, so we get to see each other, which is one of the great things about being in a small profession.
Do you recall whether ambulatory clinic was different for the women than the men?
Dr. Fox was a little tough on women. He didn't think they should be large animal practitioners. But by the end of the year, some of the women that came through we knew were got to be his favorites, just like the Jewish boys. He was tough on those, but by the end of the year, some of his disciples were favorites were Jewish boys, so they could work their way in with him. But he was tough. He was tougher on those people to start with. And he didn't think the city kids knew enough to be large animal practitioners.
So you graduated in 61. Could you just briefly talk about your career?
Yeah, well, first 3 years in school, I planned on going and practice with a classmate, Mac Holmes in Cobleskill. But in the fall of that senior year, supposedly John was going to retire, but he decided he wasn't going to retire. And I said, okay, Mac, I'll look elsewhere. And I almost went to work over in Connecticut for Dr. Milkey and in North Granby and Dr. Forrest Davis, who I'd known from my undergraduate days. But fortunately, they wanted a justice of peace to sign some agreement, and they couldn't find a JP that weekend I was over there. We even looked at houses and so forth. And when I got back to Ithaca, my parents called me, and Dr. Vaughn's been trying to get a hold of you. So, you know, I called up Forrest and said, Forrest, you know, I didn't sign anything, but here's a guy that's all by himself, and he's been a two-man practice for several years, and you're just thinking about going from two to three, so I'm going to have to say, I'm going to join him because I think his needs are greater than, you know, I'd love to work, you know, so forth. So, but those things happen, and things are meant to be sometimes, and since we couldn't find a justice of peace, I ended up 23 miles from my summer camp, which we purchased in 1959, and couldn't be happier, you know. So we've had, you know, my lifetime has had one good turn after the other. Everything, you know. Oh, a great wife, you know. And she's been very much a part of my success.
You and your wife have both been very much engaged with Cornell activities and with your classes and whatnot over their entire careers.
Cornell has been our life, really, and great respect for all the faculty and the people we've met there and the people we continue to meet. Active in the Cornell Club, and she has arranged meetings with all our union and RPI and SUNY Albany and Skidmore programs, so we've been introduced to those campuses through a Cornellian. We'll identify a Cornellian on the faculty and see if we can host a meeting, and it has worked very nicely. So Cornell has been our life, really.
Part of your life now is painting.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I hit 65, I was ready to retire. And the reason I could retire is because we had a group practice. And it was easy to retire because you knew your patients were going to be taken care of properly. So when I was ready to retire, it was getting harder to move those beef animals around. You know, we were only doing from 85% down to 3%, but there were still those beef animals. And you'd have to summon up courage if you knew you were going out to wrestle with them all day long. But when you got done, you were happy, you felt good, you've accomplished something. But I've been retired 12 years already. So somewhere in there, I remember at one of our reunions, Mac Holmes' wife, Sherry, I knew she was a watercolor painter, and I said, if you ever have a workshop, let me know. I'd like to find out about watercoloring. So she called me in June of 94. She was a good teacher, and I've been painting ever since then. It doesn't seem that long, but you know, it'll be 20 years pretty soon.
Dr. Link, thank you very much. Very fine interview.
I'm honored you would come down and interview a class of, there's a lot of guys in the plaque class that are probably more talented than myself, but we had a great class. There still is a great class. I'm looking forward to next June, our 50th. Yeah, we're planning on getting that Dean's Cup again.